when you are there, you can feel as if a spirit moves over the congregation. There are two types of people in this world. Those who worship and those who long to be worshipped.
There was a time in my life where I wished to be in the latter category. I didn't know you were so interested in my sketching project.
Of course, Finevere. I'm always interested in what you're doing. Just empty your mind like you're one of the children, and you'll learn much faster that way.
Welcome back, foundlings, to another episode of The Gate Chronicles. This is Chronicle 1, Chapter 78. My name is Emily. I am your Game Master host and the person that does like everything else on this podcast, except for when somebody else here makes comics. I don't do that. Somebody else does that. Anyway, I am joined by my two other players. Hello.
Hello.
That was very beautiful.
And then there's this guy.
I'm not going to be editing this episode now because apparently I don't do anything. I thought you were going to shout me out for editing audio every once in a while. And you're like, oh yeah, by the way, Jaden makes comics.
I didn't say
I never editing. Even published one yet.
Yeah, the audience hasn't even seen any of them.
Okay, you're right. I am so sorry. You know,
we have to put the Kelsey one in for the Patreons or something.
Oh yeah, on our Patreon, definitely. And speaking of which, you know, there are two people we really need to shout out. Probably at the beginning would make more
sense. At the beginning would make more sense because you always forget.
Well, no, you forget too. Anyway.
No, I just don't know who they are. I always remember them. I just don't know who they are.
You know, the people that really do the most work for the show, Jason Lillis and Stephen Howland, who are our favorite Foundling fans.
It's because they pay us. But also because they are dedicated to the podcast. And we appreciate that.
Dedicated. And then there's the other two schmucks at the table.
Who also have names.
Well, yeah, we're waiting for that.
Oh,
That's what we've been waiting on.
I am Quentin Ott. I am, in fact, not here to play Charles Smoot. I am instead here to play Christopher in the Bone.
Hey, and I'm Jaden. And I play Finevere Avere, who is
questioning his life.
Questioning many of his life choices, but all of that's getting set aside to figure out what's behind this door.
That's true. What is behind this door?
Please tell me it's a linen closet.
A new car.
Anyway, let's get started. Finevere's survival within the faith of the Sacred Order depends entirely on his ability to adapt to the increasingly threatening environment. Unsure of who to trust, Finevere became apprehensively acquainted with two acolytes within the temple. But one, Christoph Ironbound, may prove to be the ally he needs as he rescued him from the trance of the Order Bishop. Now, Finevere must search the bishop's quarters to find the information he needs to escape. Or not escape. He has a lot of choices here.
So many options.
So many options.
There are a lot of doors.
So, gentlemen, this is going to be a very fun session because we do, in fact, have a map.
Oh my gosh. This makes it so much easier to visualize.
Okay, so we're going to pick up right where the door
left off.
Yeah.
This is too pretty not to show to our patrons. This is a very pretty map. There's flickering lights.
So, Finevere, you have the key that Christoph gave to you, and you both made your way down this hallway to the door that you know to lead into the bishop's quarters. You place the key in, and you unlock the door. You open it, and you can see right from the get-go, there is a very large portrait within the entryway.
I assume it's of the bishop.
Let me give you a little bit of a perception request here first.
Oh, if I get like a 5, this is just, quote, a painting. All right, survey says that is 26 for perception.
So yes, you see a massive portrait directly in front of you. This is actually a very wide foyer, but surprisingly short. So as soon as you walk in, the walls right there. It's only about 10 feet deep, but then it extends all the way across. It's about 65 feet overall, and it splits on either side. But first of all, with this picture, this painting before you, you can see that it is a man, and he appears to have on the regalia of the Order Bishop that you saw earlier, but his face is not covered. And this is the first time that you are actually seeing him. And you can see that he has shoulder-length, strawberry blonde hair and green eyes. And you can tell that the frame of this portrait seems to be made of gold. But you can see that this corridor kind of splits off. To the left, you can kind of see what appears to be a balcony, but you don't see right now a way to access it. And to the right, it seems to go down further along the hallway.
All right, let's hook around the left side and see what we can find.
Okay, so going to the left, you see that the hallway or this corridor opens up and almost directly leads into a much larger and more opulent room overall. And you can see the balcony area directly to your left.
So the first thing I notice is that there's a desk. That sounds like where important things go. There's two desks.
Slow down. Oh,
hold on here. First of all, Christoph is familiar with this room.
Okay.
He has cleaned this room before. He has been one of the people that with that, as Ariana would suggest, privileges.
That je ne sais quoi.
Which is why he has a key to access this room.
That would make sense.
This lower portion of the floor that you're currently standing on, it is the large majority of the space overall. You can definitely hear that there's a fireplace nearby, but it seems that it is cut off from your view by a wall to your right. And in addition, though, the place is very well lit. Beyond the light that is pouring in through the window up top behind the desk that you pointed out, there is also a large chandelier that is hanging from the ceiling. And you can see that it is secured there by a metal chain which connects to one of the four pillars which are situated at the center of the room. There are luxurious rugs in this area as well, and you can also see that there are curtains that kind of like sway in a very slight breeze by the windows. But yes, you do see, directly all the way to the end of this part of the room, there's a desk. You see that there are racks of wine bottles, and there's even a table directly to your left, which you catch this faint smell of coffee, and you see that there's like some sort of machine there. And then there's a stair that leads up onto the balcony, which you can see is raised about 6 feet off the floor. There is no under passage access. It is all just raised floor. See that there are bookshelves lining the wall of this balcony, and you also see that there's a desk up there with a variety of items on it. So tell me, where would you like to go?
Time is of the essence, so he would first double check in with Christoph.
Mass is like an hour long, so you have a little bit of time. And by a little bit, I mean you have some time. Just be careful with what you do.
You said that there might be something of import. Did you happen to know what that might be?
I know why I am here, Finnevere. But aside from your strong desire to leave this place, I know not your purpose.
I have two goals. One, as you know, to leave here. We find something that provides us leverage in that area. It's something that we would need, for sure. But I do have another goal. A dear friend was taken. I have reason to believe that she's being held somewhere in this city, and most forebodingly might have something to do with the wedding that I hear tale about.
Would Christoph know of any ledger that the bishop keeps to track, like, correspondence with individuals, keep names, addresses, useful bits of information?
The question is, how nosy is Christoph?
I imagine that Christoph would...
I know he's a watchful waiter kind of person. Like, he just watches and waits. The question is, does he dig through things? I want your opinion on that, since you are playing as Christoph.
I don't think he would have ever have dug through anything too extensively. I think this would be the time in which he does so, but he would have kind of, as he's cleaned this room before, observed what gets utilized.
Sure.
And what might be of value.
You have seen that there are a variety of journals and books that the bishop has written in this room at different times. You don't know of any specifics in these books, but you do know that you've really only cleaned this place when he's not been in here. And as you can, like, as you're looking around the room, you do see that there are documents and books that are left open, which, again, if they're here and they're left out, they must have been of some interest to the bishop for some reason. Okay, let's see. Quentin, you have some information that would probably be useful for him here. I think you could...
Well, hey, that means he has to roll a check for that.
Well, that was a while... Okay, fine. All right. He has requested that you roll a diplomacy check to garner information from this NPC.
I requested.
Playing.
It says DC right there with a number next to it.
You have to convince... Kristoff's already sticking his neck out for you. You have to convince him to give you other information.
Is a 32 for diplomacy.
So that certainly bypasses the check. Quentin, please share this information. Sure.
Kristoff, you don't know this, but I am your father. You should help me. Okay, more serious. If there's anything that you know of that can help, now might be my only chance. It's been tough going in this city, and I don't have anyone else I can count on right now.
If it is aid that you seek, Fimavir, all you ever needed do was ask. Though I will say, it's difficult for individuals to help you. They do not know what they are looking for. But I will say, as I was about my duties not too long ago, just before you arrived, I do recall the bishop was in a meeting with someone in this very office. It was with a woman whose voice I did not recognize. And I have been here for quite some time.
Did that woman happen to mention the fact that she was a woman? Perhaps more than once?
There's a very...
What a good question.
Why did we feel like Kristoff's like, what? No, what kind of woman does that?
That's a very specific and accurate question.
Wow, you must truly know this individual. I don't know, did she?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
I do not remember such a peculiar detail, but what I found strange was, as I walked these halls for many hours, prior to that conversation, I never saw anyone enter. And after hearing the conversation, I never saw anyone leave.
That is useful indeed. That seems to imply to me that there's another way out of here. One that isn't regularly checked. So that certainly checks off the first box. Let's see what we can do on the second.
Okay. So like I said, there are many things in this room for you to look at. There's the desk in the northernmost part of the room. You actually see that there is a marble statue kind of similar to the ones that you've seen outside in this room. And that's on the same floor as the desk. There's actually a door that you can kind of spy further past the pillars all the way to the right side of the room. And you hear the sound of something burning, a fireplace, which seems to be coming from around the wall that you can't quite see yet. There are bottles of wine. There is a coffee maker, apparently, here. You can see that there is a desk up on the balcony that seems to be covered in a variety of materials and bookshelves lining all against the back wall. And it seems like there's a table up there as well on the side where it seems like there's some sort of like game going on, but nobody's there. But there's just a game situated on the table.
Fimavir, for now, hand me the key.
Then we'll hand him the key.
For the time being, while Fenivir continues to investigate, Kristoff is going to go back to the front door, make sure that they closed it after entering, and also lock it from the inside, so that if anyone comes across this place, the door isn't just wide open to this very private room.
You lock the door, and then you return to Fenivir's side, I'm assuming?
He will begin making his way up to one of the two desks. It's a coin, but whichever one he would...
Oh, I have a written order of operations here.
Whichever desk you don't go to, Kristoff will go to the other one, we'll divide and conquer.
So what was your first order of business?
That would be the center and most important looking desk.
Okay, so Finavir, you begin approaching towards the desk, and the chandelier suddenly falls. It does not.
Before he gets too far, Christoph would like grab him by the shoulder, look at him in the eyes.
If you see my namesake in any of these journals, please do come fetch me.
And I've known you for a couple days. I know your name is Christoph, but do you have a last name?
Christoph Ironbound.
All right. I'll keep an eye out. Is there any other first names I should be looking out for?
Yeah, Alicia. Alicia Ironbound. And you have a daughter?
Yeah, I believe so.
You have a daughter. And her name is Mira.
All right. Finn will make his way behind the desk.
He's going over to the middle desk. Was Christoph going to split and look at the other desk? All right. Order of operations here. We'll start with Finnvir's observations. You step into the light of the stained glass window, which is cascading over this desk and the items therein. And you can see a number of items of some interest to you. You see that there is a map on the desk, which looks to be like a map of the city. And additionally, just everything that's in plain view, there seems to be a relatively ornate golden box. It's small. It's probably about, it requires two hands to really pick it up easily. You see that there is a open leather book on the table, as well as a golden goblet, and you do see that there is evidence of something having been spilled here. The typical censure that you see in throughout the church, basically, where they are releasing incense, and it's making the room kind of smell fruity. And you also see what appears to be a black stone that is carved into the shape of a panther that's situated on the side of the desk.
Does the map look like it is decorated with any kind of points of interest? Like this is a map with something special to it to designate something, like where certain some things are?
It doesn't look like it's a map with points of interest on it, but you do notice that there seems to be a section which looks like it's the South District where there's an area that's kind of like circled.
All right. Yep, that's probably important enough. Finn will roll it up and put it inside of his robes.
So you take the map.
Journal next.
So you walk over to the journal and you take a look at it. It's a good thing you read, Arthdal.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Fluent. He reads it as a hobby.
It's the language of the people.
Prophet the Prophet was in Arthdal.
You're looking down over this journal. You're kind of blocked a little bit by the black leather chair that's next to you and kind of like shifted to the side a little.
Mm-hmm.
It does look very comfortable and very ornate. This man has spared no expense on luxury and comfort, if you didn't realize by this point.
Oh, yeah, no. Finn, low-key, is jealous of this man's taste.
You could sit in the chair. He would never know.
Finn is far too nervous to enjoy something right now.
Okay.
Except for that coffee. He's definitely going to hit that coffee.
Yeah. It definitely appears to be a ledger of sorts. Its pages are filled with financial notes detailing recent tithing that has been received, funds allocated from the crown, and things like operating expenses, commission cost for a new statue of himself, and other miscellaneous expenses. It stands out to you, however, that a large number of the miscellaneous expenses include absurd amounts being spent on things like new clothes, accessories, art, theatrical performances, and there's this one repeating transaction throughout each of the pages that just says BEG-JX, comma, for a company.
This is incredibly valuable. You could destroy someone with one of these. If you know where the money comes from, you can cut it off. I don't know how many things I can take with me, but they're going to know that we left, and I doubt it's going to be missed. So might as well. He tries to take the journal.
You're going to take the whole journal?
Well, yeah. I mean, imagine being able to hand this to someone with military experience, and they know where the most of the money is coming from and where it's going.
So my question to you is, Jaden, are you leaving today?
Yeah. I mean, do you think he could get away with going back to his church life after this?
Not if you take the journal.
I figured he was on borrowed time if he stayed here. Like, it's only a matter of time before someone's mad enough to do something or the barbarian gets bored.
Well, here's the thing. Vinbear, you haven't really been at any real risk. It's just, things have happened that have made you feel uncomfortable. You could continue to try laying low, or you could attempt your escape. That would be up to you. But I will say, you go and you pick up the journal and shift it around in your hands, trying to close it up. And as you do, there seems to be something that kind of sticks out to you. And you see as it kind of begins to fall out, and it looks like it's a small envelope. It falls out of the book.
Is it sealed or is it open?
It is not sealed, but it is tucked in.
All right. Looks like important. I'll take a quick read.
This letter seems to detail a total quantity for something amounting to the large sum of 24,000 silver. And it says,
"This is beyond unacceptable. The king's money should never be spent in such a way. You are supposed to be representatives of the sacred order, not indulging in such reprehensible acts. I know I said to watch him, but that does not mean you should partake. I can understand one little sippy now and then. The matron, in all of her graciousness, does not forbid such things. But 24,000 silver crowns? The king will have questions, and I would rather not have to explain why we are getting a bill from the pleasure house in the North District. Effective immediately, your pay will be cut by 50%. If your men have complaints, take it up with the king himself. Your bishop."
Someone just got reamed.
Better be one heck of a pleasure house. They better have like that good tiramisu for like when you leave.
So, you're still holding this ledger. You do feel that if you were to take this now, it would make things really difficult if you weren't able to escape. But, like you said, it could be a really good bargaining chip, if anyone cared.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that that box might have something that's equally worth taking, and if you're gonna take one thing,
let's take it all!
Take what you can carry. Speaking of, it's box time. What's that golden box?
Which one?
The one golden box.
The tiny one or the big one?
That's a pillow.
It's a pillow? I thought that was like a piano with a treasure chest on it, not gone.
That's a I think that's called a chaise or a chaise, where people like lounge on, and those are pillows.
Looks like a terribly uncomfortable pillow. It's like one of those taunt ones that are there to decorate couches, but not to lay on.
Oh, 100% he has decorative pillows. That's evil. Quentin's glaring at me. So you go and you pick up this chest. It definitely feels like it is gold plated at the very least, but overall it's relatively heavy on its own. And when you pick it up, you hear that there's some sort of jingling inside of it. That definitely sounds a little bit like coins.
Not as interesting. Yeah, he'll just leave that there for now. I guess he could observe the panther.
Sure.
Oh, I guess in the goblet. We're going to do something with that in a second.
Okay. So you look at the panther. Like I said, it looks like it is a very intricately carved stone panther. And the details in it are surprising.
Then we'll just lift it for a second.
Okay. You lift it.
Is there anything particularly odd about it, besides that it is, like, shockingly real?
When you pick it up, you get this really strange, almost reverberant sensation of something that growls through your body.
The player thinks that this will turn into a panther, like it's one of those, like, statues, but I don't think Finn has enough fantasy knowledge to think that that's possible. It'll just put it back on the table. Is that goblet actually spilled over?
Yeah, the goblet is spilled over on the table, and looks like there's something that spilled out of it onto the table.
Can he take a perception check? Presuming it's wine, he wants to determine its comparison to the wines he's familiar with. Basically, is this somehow coming all the way from the north, or is this better or worse?
So this wine apparently has been on this table for a little while, and it's kind of seeped into the wood, but you can definitely catch this very fruity aroma. And it definitely reminds you, strangely, not even strangely, it definitely reminds you of one of your grandfather's wines. Why don't you roll me a lore alcohol?
All right, let's go. Go roll alcohol. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can absolutely identify this as Juneberry Chardonnay from Asher Wineries. You know that on its own, it's like the bottle's worth 200 silver on its own.
Finlow muttered to himself, probably audibly, "Juneberry Chardonnay.
All the way down here?
Apparently, he likes his things very, very fine. Okay. So, if you wanted to, just, where would you be heading next? And then I'll pop over, just so I can get an idea of what I need to prepare.
Sure. I got my order written out. The next one on the list is observing the statue.
Wonderful. I'll move you over there, and we will pop over to what is going on with Christoph Ironbound, who is standing at the top, really, at the top of the stairs, looking towards the desk, which he walks over to. There are these back wall bookshelves that you observe are literally lined from floor to ceiling on just books. There is one shelf, however, that seems to have bottles of wine stored on it, even though there are wine bottles stored on a shelf on the lower floor. These seem a little bit more decorative or something along those lines. Do me a favor, roll a perception check. I should have had you do a perception earlier, Jaden, but a lot of the stuff that was on the desk was already like visibly obvious.
29 for Crystal.
What are you looking at first up here? There's the desk, there are the bookshelves, and I mean, there's the table with what looks like a chessboard. Also, kind of curving along the main wall, right up to where the window is, the stained glass window, there does seem to be a wardrobe and what appears to be some sort of box on the floor.
Christoph probably wouldn't assume that what he is looking for is something that the bishop would have out, because it's not something that one would need every day. He believes that the bishop is a curer of secrets and information, so he would probably be most interested in the bookshelf, looking for the specific documentation he's seeking.
Okay, you're going to actually give me use the gather information activity. You technically are going to roll a society, because normally you would roll diplomacy, but this will be the society check, because we're using the bookshelf.
May I, per my feat, schooled in secrets, if you are trained in occultism, you notice signs and symbols that members of the occult use in their secret societies and affiliation of their fellow members. You can use an occultism check in place of diplomacy in order to gather information.
That's fine.
Oh, I saw it.
Oh, it's a natural 20.
And what's the total?
It is a total 31 for my occultism to gather information. But I am looking for specifically what I sent you.
You begin perusing these shelves, and you've spent some time in here before, and you've already had a little bit of that time to kind of look, and you've narrowed down the section that you probably need to look into. Is over in the right corner area, where you know that there seems to be books that are more specifically detailing the acolytes and also any criminal offenses, and you begin perusing through there. And it doesn't take you long, as it is actually very well organized and alphabetical. And you do find your name in the book.
Is this like a bound book?
It is.
Christoph's going to tear out his pages.
Okay.
He's also, if he could, as it's alphabetized, he would attempt to find Finnevere's pages as well.
You don't find anything yet.
He's only been here a week. Christoph takes his pages and he puts them in his vestment.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to look at up here while you were?
He would peruse at a surface level the contents of the desk in front of him, as it's something that is near, and he is still also looking for the sake of Finnevere for things as well.
Yeah, of course. So you walk over, back over to the table before you rejoin with your comrade, just to peruse and see what you can find. You see a majority of the documents that are on the table are some sort of information on construction, and there are even schematics detailing plans for an additional temple to be built in the South District. And you see that there are several areas that are kind of like circled in the southern area. And you see a few notes kind of scribbled in there, needing to relocate the homeless population, tear down parts of the slums, concerns for rebellion, and all those little details. You also see on the desk a number of potions that are there. You see one that's like a small round bottle that has a green liquid inside. Another one's like a thin vial that has a light blue liquid in it. There is one that is a tall but narrow glass bottle that has a dark red viscousy looking liquid in it. There's a triangular small bottle with a glittery orange liquid, a small round bottle again, with a shimmering liquid inside. And To you, it appears that this color is kind of like purple. There is a silver goblet on this table, and that's about all that you see that is of any significance to you at this time.
Can Christoph go and look at the wine shelf?
Sure.
He is specifically looking for bottles of wine that are already partially drunk. And if at all possible, he's looking for the lowest quality bottles of wine.
All of the bottles of wine that are up here,
I figured, are very high quality.
Seem like they're very high quality.
Yeah, that's fair.
And very few of them are open.
What about the wine bottles down on the lower bit, down below the balcony?
Okay, so you're going to leave this area and head down.
And yeah, and he'll reconvene with Finnevere and let him know he found a few things.
Sure. These bottles look like they're of a lesser quality. And they do appear to have several of them already open. So, Finnevere, you have walked over to this statue, which is eerily familiar in that it is another shrouded woman. However, this one's face is just smooth stone. It does appear to be holding a book in its right hand and a pair of scales in the left hand.
Yeah, it took me like 20 minutes to figure out that that was scales and not like a controllable drone.
Yeah, context clues really didn't do much to aid you there, did they?
There's a coffee machine in here, bud. It's justified.
It does appear the scales are weighted to the left, even though there is nothing in it or on it. But it does look like whoever designed this made it so that it could be like a mobile part. Whether or not that was for any particular reason, you're not sure, but it looks really cool.
Finn has an idea.
Roll me a perception check.
You got it. Perception total of, drumroll please, 28.
This gets you a little extra information. Not only is it this scale that looks like it can move, but there's something else about this statue that looks like parts of it might move as well. And you can tell that there are very slight marks on the floor indicating that something has slid in this area before, specifically when you walk around to the back of the statue.
It looks like the bishop has some similarities with the Prophet of Grapes.
And he goes up and he touches the scale that's up and he slowly moves it down as to intentionally trigger any weight ratio.
Okay, so what do you mean by, what are you trying to, how about this? Finn, I need you to roll a deception check.
Sure.
You're trying to imitate the weight of something.
Oh, he absolutely is. Indiana Jones style. Oh my gosh, we're rolling hot tonight on everything. 34 for deception.
You put a little bit of weight against which side of the scale?
The one that's up.
So the right side of the scale.
He's trying to balance out the scales.
Sure. So you put your finger on the scale and you try to just press a little bit. You do not know what weight you are trying to imitate on this.
Correct.
And you don't know what exactly is going to trigger this to move. But yes, you put a little bit of weight and you do feel as the scale moves slightly. And as you do, you kind of get the feeling that you should probably put some items on here that are relatively lightweight, because you realize if for some reason your hand is already putting too much weight on it.
Right. Well, does that chest open? He's thinking that maybe it might be coins.
So you go over to the chest?
Yeah. So
you find that the chest is locked. The little box is locked.
Does he have a pen I could try to lockpick this with?
There was a quill on the desk, but it's not a metal quill. It's like your standard medieval style bird quill.
Yeah, and Christoph's too bald to have a bobby pin.
Well, no, if it was a quill and it did have a metal tip, it would be too big to use, I think. Too wide.
You basically would have to break it and bend it. And that would be just to be make half a tool.
There are many different items around this room.
Yeah.
You could try them.
Yeah, he's going to try to hunt around for a lockpick. Unless, Christoph, you wouldn't have... I mean, this dumb question, but you wouldn't happen to have or see any coins around. I think this... I have a feeling this might be a way out.
What purpose would coins have for you?
I mean, if it's... Do you read about it's fiction?
What is it that you are looking for, Finnevere?
I believe if we put a few coins in that scale, the statue will move, revealing an passageway for us to potentially escape.
May it be coins or any light object?
I,
don't know. It just seemed right because this is such a lavish place. Is there a saying with the shadow, the shrouded woman?
Could I roll a knowledge religion? See if there's anything about, like, 3 coins will make you have a balanced day?
You can roll a knowledge check on that. So it'd really be a lore. Right?
We could try to Indiana Jones it with some liquid check to try to get the same amount of weight.
Total 30.
There is no specific saying about scales or just like balancing things, but you do know that this individual is generally referred to as like somebody who is of knowledge.
I mean, I already have what Christoph would say. Christoph will walk up to Fenrir.
Have you learned nothing from our time together? You believe only certain objects have value to you here, when perhaps there are more mundane solutions.
And Christoph will point over to the chessboard where there are chess pieces and to the coffee maker where there is probably coffee beans.
Be smart. He'll go over to the chessboard.
Okay. You go over to the chessboard and you see that it's in the middle of a game and there are many pieces on the board.
Who's winning?
Currently, it looks like nobody's really taken any pieces from what I can tell.
What?
I can't tell. I'm not looking. It looks like white's winning then.
I would say black's winning and white mounted a very aggressive counterattack in a very desperate last attempt.
Yeah, but the GM said white's winning, so white's winning.
I don't know. I didn't make this piece.
Honestly, I think it's very
poetic.
It's not analogous, is it? An analogy for, right? Yeah. For what's going on right now, how the Red Kingdom is far up in secret territory, but the secret territory threw one last Hail Mary way deep into Redguard territory to see if they could do something.
You know, that's really funny because I literally just went and found this. Not the map. I made the map, but like just found this chessboard. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. He'll take the pieces and leave the pawns on the black side.
Take specifically a knight, a bishop, a king, and a queen.
Okay.
Oh, he'll just take all 4 bishops and chuck them in there and see if that happens. It's very bishopy.
Very bishopy today.
Okay. You take these pieces and you walk back over to the scales.
I throw a bishop in.
It's too light. It seems like it is negligible bulk.
You'll start putting pieces in one at a time. King, wait. Knight.
To make something light, you need 10 pieces.
Oh.
Negligible bulk is negligible.
He'll dump them all in and he'll grab the other side's pieces and start throwing them in one by one.
Okay. You see that as you do this, and how many pieces are on this board?
Let's not be stupid. We can figure this out, everybody. We're not uncultured. There are 16 chess pieces per side. There should be a total of 32 chess pieces.
There's 26.
Which means they ate some of them.
Arthdal chess, man.
You see that as you put 26 pieces, all of them, onto this thing. First off, they're kind of overflowing off of the scale, and so they're not staying on. But you notice as you get at least one light bulk's worth, the head of the statue makes a quarter turn to the right.
Where do it be looking, though?
Where is the statue looking?
It makes a quarter turn to the right. It's not looking in any particular direction. It is a quarter turn of the head, literally just going shh.
Yeah.
Now, if you're right, asking so where it's looking towards the balcony area, if anything, or maybe the coffee maker. But what the GM is saying is not significant where this statue is currently looking. I'm letting you know that right now. Don't overthink it. I promise it's not bad.
The clarity is deeply appreciated.
That could have been a red herring for hours.
Yeah, but he's looking at this wall. There's nothing suspicious about this wall.
This could have been a gazebo situation. It mattered.
The coffee maker is looking at it's just a quarter turn.
He tries to push the statue. He'll try front, then right, then back, then left.
It will not budge. Make a perception check again.
In the meantime, can Christoph make a cocktail?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm actually trying to do is I'm trying to find roughly 3 wine bottles that are relatively empty. I'm going to pour the contents of 2 of them into one of them. So I have 2 empty bottles and 1 moderately full bottle.
Uh-huh.
I'm then going to go over to the potions, and I'm going to pour the contents of 2 random potions. I don't care. Just give me whatever. 1 into each wine bottle,
and then I'm going to fill the potion bottles with the contents of the wine. I'm not mixing them. Each potion's in its individual bottle.
The bottles are too big. They will not fit on the scale.
I'm not putting them on the scale.
Okay. I was like...
I think he's going to drink them.
Are you drinking them?
What? You are all very... All I'm trying to do is have empty wine bottles.
Uh-huh.
And then put the contents of each potion into a wine bottle and pour wine into the potion
bottles. There are no empty... Okay, so why are you trying to... Okay.
That way I'm not caught carrying around potion flasks. I'm caught carrying around wine, which is a lot less incriminating.
It's a lot harder to carry, but you can do this. Well, I wasn't sure what you were doing. I was like, are you mixing these?
I don't know. I'm not attempting to mix the contents of the potions.
Okay, so...
Okay, I thought you were trying to do that, especially when you used the word cocktail.
Yeah.
The cocktail is what's being left over. I got it.
Yeah, I was like, you can't do that with magic potions.
No,
I think that ruins
it. Does.
Okay.
I'm trying to put one potion per wine bottle.
Okay. There's a reason why I need to know this. So you open the cork of like the green one. And as you do, you notice that there is a pleasant aroma that wafts from the bottle. And it smells like beef stew.
Ben's like, you're trying to empty one of those? Here, let me help you.
Do you drink it?
Give me a second. I need to know something.
Are you trying to determine if you can determine
yeah,
what they do?
Yeah, Kristoff's very hungry. He drinks the potion.
Oh, okay.
I crit failed on my fortitude save.
Yeah, it smells like beef stew.
It smells really good.
It does.
We've really been enjoying beef stew recently.
Well, this is what happens when you intentionally slight someone's rations every day for his whole life.
Congratulations, you drank a ration tonic. You are magically nourished with the equivalent of a day's worth of food and water.
You see Kristoff's skeleton gaunt frame almost kind of fill out a little. You realize that he's a tad bit muscular.
Kristoff quickly realizes these are magic potions. Congratulations. So, are you still pouring them into the wine bottles while he's doing...
Yes, I'm going to pour each potion into one empty wine
bottle.
Okay,
so I have to tell you, okay.
And then put the contents of the wine in the potion, so at least there's a fluid there, so they'll have to examine and be like, oh, wait, that's not magic. That's just wine.
Okay, so the light blue one has no odor whatsoever. I need you to roll a perception check really quick.
I'm good at those. 29 for Kristoff's perception.
When you uncork the tall, narrow glass bottle, it catches you off guard because something isn't right about it. And there is a strong scent of iron from it.
What color is this viscous?
It is dark red.
That's just blood.
Could be a rage potion. Could be a vampiric touch potion. Could be poison.
But something about it is unsettling to you. And you get this, the hackles on your neck kind of stand.
Yeah, I'm just going to put that back in the potion bottle and leave it there.
The glittery orange one, there is no other way to describe it except that it's like a fresh memory. Or like laundry linen. The reason I gave these all fun descriptions, you just decided I need to put them in wine bottles and make it so much more obvious.
I'm just carrying out the wine bottles that he doesn't need anymore. I'm cleaning up the place.
Okay. The one that looks like a purple liquid to you, when you open it up, you are not sure what it smells like.
Also smell like nothing, or I'm just not sure what the smell is?
You are not sure what the smell
is. So it has a smell, I just can't identify it.
Wholeheartedly unique, to the point it cannot be described, besides that it is odd.
Is it unpleasant? No. Is it pleasant? No. Is it confusing? Yes. Will you be honest about it? Yeah. Are you okay?
I don't know if that was like a deep meta hint that this is like a truth serum or something.
I'm really good at giving you questions anyway.
Oh, so far you're delivering on a lot of questions here.
There are a lot of questions here.
Like, what is really at that pleasure house that's worth that much money?
That's a great question. What's behind the doors on the other side of the room?
Oh, who knows? We have an entire half of a room to explore still.
Oh, and there's a fireplace. Oh, but first we have to see what the heck Finnevere sees. I forget, what was your question?
I was asked to make a perception check and it was 23. The head tilted and Finn pushed it around and is trying to examine it further.
Oh, it was just Quentin being like, oh, but while he's doing this. So, you've determined that there are too many chess pieces to fit on the scales. But you do know that 10 pieces equaling one light bulk made the head turn a quarter turn.
I see. Okay, so he will remove the chess pieces.
Okay.
Kind of hastily store them under the bottles of wine to the left. Okay.
Somebody's going to come in and be like, who moved everything?
How much bulk is that chest worth?
The chest over here?
Yeah.
You go and pick it up. It feels like one bulk.
If he throws that on there, let's see if we get another quarter turn.
When you took off the chess pieces, the head went back to the center. You place this chest or this little box on the scales, and you see as it kind of goes shink, but nothing happens. It seems it's too heavy. You realize that 10 light bulk make one bulk.
You need somewhere in between 2 and 10.
Okay, the box goes back. Does the panther seem somewhere in between there?
You pick up the panther.
Okay. I mean, at this point, it's quicker to just run back and forth and try things.
Okay, yeah.
Than to think about it.
The panther is surprisingly light, and you test it, and you realize it is negligible bulk. You pick the one that wasn't anything.
It grabs a wine bottle and tries that.
Well, it depends. Is it empty or does it have stuff in it, right?
He just tries a full one, because most of them are full anyway.
Beverages.
Yeah, what's a regular?
One bowl wine is bulk L.
So that's light bulk. So a full bottle is a light bulk.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on there. It does not seem that you would be able to fit 4, but you do see as the head turns a quarter turn to the right.
Okay.
I think we need to snap his neck. He needs to do a 360 degree head turn.
Other objects that are in the room. There is a little tiny hand coffee grinder. There is a goblet on the table. There is a goblet on this table. There were potions.
There were.
Strange.
All right, but hey, there are potions.
There are books.
Yeah, we can try books. Grab some books, various sizes, and try some of them.
Okay. You just grab various sizes, or do you try to match sizes and weights?
Yeah, we'll try some similar sized ones, so we can consistently do one after another.
Okay.
Plus, they can be stacked.
Okay. How many did you put on?
Well, one at a time.
Okay.
So 4.
Okay. So you put, as you put each book on, you see as the head turns a quarter turn, a half, three quarters turn, until it reaches a full quarter, meaning a whole. And you see as the statue slides back slowly, and there is currently an opening in the floor, a hole, so to speak, with stairs that lead down beneath it.
Right. Now we have a point of escape.
Are you sure? What if it is a dead end? You do not know where this tunnel may take you.
You think they have a second secret entrance and exit where a mysterious woman's voice could enter and leave?
What if it is a dungeon? Somewhere where no one is ever meant to leave.
I suppose that's possible.
I will stay up here and keep watch. I have what I have come for. You are more than welcome to explore further.
I think the next thing on the list is that coffee.
I gotta make sure I get a cup of joe before I go.
Okay, I don't know if you remember, but Finnevere's favorite snack for a long time was coffee beans.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware.
And it is... Oh, wait, no. Wine is next on the list. He's gonna do a quick peruse for the most expensive wine he can grab.
Okay.
And he's gonna consider his sign-in bonus.
Okay. It's gonna take you some time to look around for that. Go ahead and roll a perception check, and then you're also going to give me a lore alcohol.
In the meantime, Kristoff would check out the room to the right.
Kristoff walks over to the other side of the room, to the doors. And you attempt to open it, but it seems to be locked.
Has Kristoff ever had to clean the contents of this room before?
You have, and you find it strange that it's locked.
He would attempt to utilize the key that he has on his person.
You've never had to unlock this door before. And you attempt to use your key, but it doesn't work. But you do know, as you have said, that the Order Bishop is a keeper of many secrets. He may have hidden the key somewhere in the room.
Kristoff will take his time and search for that, then.
Perception check, and 4 Finnevere. What were your rolls?
I'm going to hit you with a wombo combo of 30 for the perception and a nat 20 totaling of a 33 for alcohol.
Sure.
He has studied.
The cheap wine is what is on the lower floor. And it seems like this might be what is served to guests. But you finally go up onto the upper desk and you see now that there are several potions up here. All of them seem to be some sort of like red color.
Wait, he rolled really high on his lore alcohol. Wouldn't he be able to tell that they're fake?
There's some like red liquid, and you don't typically see wine stored in potion bottles. That's why I'm saying I don't know if he would check, but he would be a little suspicious of them.
Exotic tastes.
The one that stands out the most to you, though, there is that thin, tall bottle that has the viscous, dark red liquid in it. You have heard stories about a special type of wine, and it is generally made from the blood of some vitality-filled creature. And some people even use human blood, sometimes the blood of young women, to create this. And looking at this bottle, you have no doubt that this would be something called wine of the blood. It looks fresh, and it sends a chill down your spine.
I'm hearing that not only did I find the most expensive thing, but it's also in a smaller container than I wanted.
It is not the most expensive thing, but you know that it is...
It sounds good enough.
Morally dubious, but you could take that.
Are the legends, like, does it make you live forever? What did the legend say?
Oh, the legends are all about how it helps your body to maintain its youth and virility. You know, the usual.
Sacrifice 100 babies, live another decade.
It almost has like a drug, like besides being like an alcohol, but it also has a drug-like effect where it can cause euphoria and has been said basically to heal people. And can also be used as a way to treat certain emotional maladies. But by far, this is not the most expensive wine in the room, if you could even call it a wine. You know it is infused with magicka, but again, it might not be something that is smiled upon to be sold.
Well, he'll pocket it.
Okay, you take it. But by far the most expensive wine in this room, you see, is your grandfather's Asher Winery's Juneberry Chardonnay, located on the topmost shelf. You would recognize that bottle anywhere, but you realize you would need to climb to get it, which is a little hazardous for you, or find a ladder in this room. There has to be one, after all.
Well,
you assume.
Or, you know, so
that would be... my mage hand has a bit more kick than it used to, and not a lot.
No, I'm not saying you use mage hand. I'm saying the bishop might be magical. Maybe he has magicka.
Or asks one of his servants to get a ladder.
Maybe. Maybe he just stands on the back of one of his servants. Uses them like step stools.
So if it seems plausible to climb this, that sounds like some serious risk reward here. But this is a podcast, and what are we players but here for the thrill? What check would that be?
Athletics, and then acrobatics to balance.
Oh, two checks? That sounds like disadvantage. Is there a nearby ladder?
You would like to take a look around the room and find a nearby ladder?
Yeah.
All right. Give me a perception check.
22. Is there one that could be found in a brief span of time?
I like the word you used. I'm going to give you a bonus. A brief span of time? Well, yes you
in
can.
The briefcase?
There is a briefcase that stands out to you.
Oh, boy.
It's a ladder in a box.
He checks out the briefcase. So it looked like...
You open the briefcase and you see that there is a foldable 10-foot ladder in here.
Whoa. It's a ladder in a box. I love how you're so enamored and shocked and interested.
This is suddenly better than the box that follows you. It's a briefcase that has a ladder in it. Think of all the climb checks we could just not have to roll
for. It's a 10-foot ladder!
Yeah, but it's a 10-foot ladder he didn't have before.
Yeah.
I know what Jaden likes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so ladder, wine, and then we're off to the right side of the room. And yes, he's keeping that ladder.
Okay.
It's the new Isabel.
You grab...
I don't think it is a cursed doll overturning that can never be separated from you. I think you're going to get robbed again in like 5 episodes and be sad that you've lost another set of your items for the 10th time.
That's why you gotta enjoy life right now. And hey, when grandfather eventually comes for me, I got something to cure his,
A ladder in a box?
No.
His emphysema.
His erectile dysfunction?
The tales of his fortitude were largely exaggerated.
Right. Question, did you take the ledger, like officially take, or did you leave it?
No, he took it, and after he shuffled things about, it's kind of irreparable.
Okay, where are you keeping all these things on yourself? Because you don't have a bag. As far as I'm aware.
Does the ladder take up the entire contents of the briefcase, or is it also still a functioning briefcase?
The whole briefcase. So the base of the ladder is the briefcase.
No, you're right. He couldn't carry both. So it's easy enough for him to...
That's why I was like trying to figure out, how are you carrying all these bottles of wine? That's why I'm like, you're carrying all the...
Well, you could carry all three of those in one hand with enough grip strength.
But yeah, so... There's like so many easier things that you guys could. You're like the monkey sticking your hand in the jar.
I miss my backpack.
You can absolutely take the briefcase. I mean, that's fine.
No, I think he'll take the briefcase instead of the wine.
Okay.
You know what? I know exactly where that wine is made. I do not know where this ladder is made.
No, it's even worse because he sees you carrying wine bottles and he's like, oh, well.
He's got us covered.
You fool. You've tricked
me. I'm looking for the key to the room.
Okay, what's your perception?
Can I take a
total 13? Listen, if you get a natural crit, you have to get a crit fail at some point in the evening. It's just basic math.
That was a critical failure for you.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a critical failure on the perception.
Oh, I'm sure.
You have absolutely no idea where this key is. You've checked under the pillars. Like, there's little tiny crevices under the pillars where sometimes...
I have to dust those. It's the pain.
Yeah, there's nothing there. You've checked the cushions.
Yeah, under the carpet, under the bear rug.
You've checked under the wolf rug. Excuse you. Also, that was something I failed to describe earlier. Just... We're moving around the room.
I know.
I already knew this.
Christoph just kind of gives up and starts pounding and just stands guard by the door.
You sniff the potions.
Yeah. Christoph will be keeping a careful ear to the locked door of the bishop's quarters, waiting to hear if anyone is approaching.
Okay.
And he'll just be passively taking a perception check to see if he hears anyone coming down the corridor.
Vinamir, as you come over, you see that Christoph is just leaning up against the wall by the doors. And you can tell that he's just sort of listening down the hall. At this moment, you are sort of walking by the place where you heard the fire. And you can see now, and like when you walked in, you saw that this fireplace was there. It's a very large hearth. And there's a very nice fire that's burning right there. In front of the fireplace, you see there is almost what you would consider a dire wolf pelt of a gray wolf on the floor in front of the fireplace. It makes you think of Charles Smoot, thinking of where he's at Wolf's Lodge.
Yeah, gray, wolf, I would do it.
Roll the perception check for me yourself.
I wonder who's bothering today. That is a 16.
It turns out our comeuppance is nigh. We're rolling so well.
Maybe I should have taken assurance and perception.
It's a little smoky over by the fireplace area. Makes it kind of hard to see anything.
Sounds unpleasant.
It does sound a little unpleasant, unfortunately. But it's warm in here. But you go over to where your comrade is standing.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get in this door or something?
Failing to get into the door would be a more operative term.
Well, in my experience, you don't necessarily need a key.
You do when the door is locked.
No, not if you have something to produce a bit of leverage and something to poke in the side. I do have a bit of experience.
Christoph just looks at his fists and then looks at the door.
I'm let you two have a conversation if you like.
No, by all means, I can stand watch. The more delicate hand may be appropriate in these set of circumstances. I do find it peculiar, though. I've cleaned these halls many times. Never before was this door locked.
Hmm.
Well, that gives me an unfortunate idea. Finn will knock on the door.
You knock on the door.
Okay. As long as there's not a response to that.
Well, she hasn't said there is or isn't yet. You kind of cut her off.
I was hopefully asserting.
What if it's a dramatic pause to build tension?
And when you knock on the door, you stand there for a moment. Another moment passes. There is no response. I will say, Christoph, you know that this room, when you've been in here, it is amazingly sound dampening. And when the doors are closed, because you have to clean behind them, you can't hear anything outside of the room, nor can you hear anything in the room.
Perhaps your intuition is not incorrect, but the recipient of such a message is unable to receive your correspondence. If someone is locked inside, it would not seem to be for their own benefit, one would assume.
Are you trying to reason why you should break down the door?
I think no, but that's, I mean, sound logic if we need to.
I guess the only other place for small objects to search, since there's, we didn't see any drawers at the desk, would be the other desk.
Search the room in general for a key. I tried that, it's just I got a crit fail.
Can you do that? Search the room in general for something?
For a specific object. You're specifying something, it's just in a general area.
Alright. Can you do both a key and or anything that is a key-like thing that he could use to pick the lock?
Oh, now you're adding layers. Look, you've confused the code. You've overwhelmed the system.
Well, I can narrow that down to any object that is key-sized.
You have not been able to find any object that is, air quote, key-sized from the areas that you were looking in. Nothing in this room seems ideal to use as a key, but then again, you also haven't looked in inconspicuous locations that you wouldn't think to look, generally.
Well,
but go ahead, roll a perception, since it sounds like you want to look for a key.
All right, well, Finn's going to, like, put the briefcase down, because that's just going to slow him down right now.
Sure.
Yeah, so let's do that. Search.
You could aid another if you would like to improve his check.
I guess I'll be helpful. Okay. Well, I passed my aid.
So 30 plus aid.
You begin looking in some of the inconspicuous areas. Like you said, behind that really uncomfortable pillowcase, or the pillow, under some of the cushions themselves. You even check under the game board that is up on the balcony. But then you look under the center of the first desk. You just kind of look underneath, and you see that kind of stuck to the bottom is a key.
Well, it seems like people of all station do the same.
Now he'll grab whatever's underneath.
Yeah, it's a key.
All right, let's try that key.
You go over to the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's two doors, actually, and you unlock them.
Whoa.
And the doors, you open them up, and you see inside, just peering in, looks to be like the bedchamber. Do you go in?
But of course.
Okay. Does Christoph go in?
Christoph will keep watch from out here.
You do not see anybody in this room, but go ahead and roll another perception check for me, because this is all about the mystery.
18.
22 for Christoph.
You see that there is a king-sized, lavishly cushioned bed covered in red blankets and pillows up against the back wall. Beside the bed, you see that there is a golden-rimmed mirror, and there's two storage containers in the room. One appears to be a chest that has some, basically, like, you kind of look inside, and you see that there are clothes in it, organized shoes, and there's a chest of drawers, and everything is also very neat and organized in here. There is another large gray wolf pelt on the floor in here, and you do notice that on the bed there is a silver tray that seems to have chocolates on it. And there are a variety of chocolates that are kind of awkwardly just strewn on the bed. But you also see that there is a small, kind of like palm-sized black box on the bed as well.
Finn will eat one of the chocolates.
Okay, you eat one of the chocolates.
Holy Christoph. Let me pull what the effect is. Is it poison?
You're lucky. It's not an aphrodisiac.
I was going to ask that.
I don't even know where to go with that. But yeah, you eat one of the chocolates, and it tastes very good.
Oh my goodness. Christoph, you got to try one of these.
But you also taste something a little off about it. You taste iron.
I think I ate the wrapper.
There's no wrapper on these.
He still says that. He commits to the bit. Black box.
You also see, kind of like as you're looking around the like the wooden chest in the room, you see that there is what looks like a black dagger on the floor that has like a green snake that's carved into its handle. It's kind of awkwardly just thrown on the floor, kind of under, poking out a little bit underneath the box.
Oh yeah, well, if he sees a dagger, that is kind of, he doesn't have a weapon, so yeah, he'll grab that.
It feels a little tacky.
Oh, it's like decorative?
No. The other type of tacky.
Oh.
Like something sticky or viscous. Maybe it came in contact with the aphrodisiac. Or it's the other type of fluid that the human body produces.
Spit.
Tied to woe.
Okay, you clean it off.
Is it less sticky?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Well, it's less sticky now. You've tied to woe.
All right, he'll put it on his side and tighten his rope belt.
Okay.
Enough to keep it there. Okay, black box time. Let's take a look.
You look at the box. It seems like it has a small opening in the lid. And you're able to open it. And as you do, you kind of see something kind of inside of it that moves. Not just like, it just moves when you tilt the box a little, sliding around.
Can he try to look at it a lot closer?
I really hope this is what I think it is, but it's absolutely not. I'm getting the signals that I'm now disappointed.
It doesn't look like it's a liquid or anything, but it does look like, just by looking at it, it looks like it's some sort of, like a slime.
Oh.
A slimy substance.
Is the perception check for alchemical properties still a thing in P2E?
Maybe lore.
You put a little bit on your fingertip, taste it, and
oh yeah, you can put check. Your finger in. Yeah, you can do that. It wouldn't be like that. You would be making an occult check.
Oh gosh.
Occult. I'm trained in occult. Christoph's interest would be piqued as to why the room was locked.
Sure. Finavir, what was your occult check? Your occultism.
We'll give it a shot. 24.
You've heard tales of it, and it's generally used to dispose of corpses. The ooze-like substance inside of it is known to devour corpses and breaks down the body into the necromantic sludge. It's called the carrion cask. It is worth 500 silver pieces. It is bulk light, and you know that once per day, you can feed a corpse of small-sized or larger to the cask, little by little.
Oh, what size are you?
Small or larger. You have to feed it little by little, though.
Hey, with all of these context clues that we're just now getting, those wouldn't happen to be bloodstains on the bed, would they?
Would your perception let you see that? Would you like to come into the room and look?
No.
He was invited by Finavir by, hey, check out these chocolates, they're great.
I think I'll just let the other guy piece it all together.
Okay.
There was a dagger on the floor. Chocolates. There's a box known to devour bodies.
You can't have someone telling people that you're doing it while you're, you know, of someone of high position.
Yeah. Exactly. This room is, like, perfectly soundproofed.
And Finn goes up to the mirror.
Okay, Finn, you walk up to the mirror. It is a very nice mirror. It is high quality. You can see every, like, just detail of yourself. It makes you look really good.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the most profitable of all?
You say to yourself in the mirror.
He boops at himself.
You touch your finger to the mirror, leaving a fingerprint.
He does that.
They don't have the technology to make use of that.
Hopefully. Finn wouldn't know about that. Finn wouldn't know that that would be a bad thing. I guess the last thing that he would have to check on. So I heard that there was a box with clothes in it.
Yeah.
And then there was a box with organized
shoes and clothes. Shoes.
Okay, so also clothes.
You have no shoes.
Or clothes, really.
Upgrade. I know, yeah.
If you're breaking out, you break out in style,
it's upgrade time.
These all look like vestments of the Order Bishop. They're all very high quality materials and all of them have very wide shoulders.
Like, wide enough that'd be awkward to get through doors?
Wide enough, we're talking, like, old school anime, like...
So, you know, you have to go at 45 degree angles, according to Piccolo.
No, you just have to flex your Your pack's basically the
Do they have like headpieces or masks or anything that goes along with it?
You don't see any in here.
Okay. He's going to steal whatever looks like the most comfortable pair of shoes to like walk briskly or run in. So not slippers if he can avoid it.
Not good for running.
Speaking of, he's never going to give the slippers back.
Okay.
Do you have special slippers?
You see some very...
Yeah.
You don't have to leave. You can make a plan.
A viable one? Put all the stuff that we took back.
You're right. Yeah, well, I mean, we didn't have to start just taking things.
You didn't have to at all. Yeah, so this is where we are, gentlemen. I would say about an hour has passed at this point, and you begin to hear as the church bells once again begin ringing.
Genevieve, that is our cue.
He grabs a pair of shoes. The briefcase.
What size are Finavir's feet?
10.5.
Okay, I rolled for it. The bishop wears 13s.
Big shoes, big feet, big man.
And everything you grab, like, he is definitely taller than you. And for some reason has really broad shoulders.
The bishop is actually Smoot.
But the clothing is a little too big for you.
Okay. All that's getting left behind, we're grabbing, you know. So he has map, journal, grab that briefcase, little box.
You're grabbing the black box?
Yeah.
Sure.
And that potion that he has tucked next to the dagger.
Genevieve, we will not be exiting the same way we entered. The question you must ask yourself is, do you trust this unknown tunnel, or would you prefer an alternate exit route?
I don't believe in a feasible exit to the gates I came in, so I'll trust that there's a way forward.
If you wish... I will stay behind as you go through the tunnel. I'll reset the room to its best condition possible before making my way out.
If you're certain that that's the best for you, I'll wait as long as I can on the other side.
I have no reason to trust this mysterious passageway. I have laid out my own plans, of which, of course, you are more than welcome to join me for. But the choice is yours.
Plans to what? Wait for the opportune moment?
As moments do always arise and present themselves.
Well, if I was thinking about that, I wouldn't have taken any of this stuff. I believe it's a bit too late for that. I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to take this road and give it my best shot. Best of luck, Christoph. Thank you for everything.
Christoph nods. And as Finavir walks away from him, he kind of just slowly... quietly mutters under his breath.
So, you have chosen.
And they part ways.
All right, this is going to be interesting. Finavir, You begin walking down the stairs underneath of the statue. It's a 10-foot by 10-foot opening, so it's relatively big. The tunnel underneath is completely dark. There's no light down here. The only light that you have is the light that is behind you. With as much light as you have left... you can see that down at the bottom, there's a small room in here. It's like goes on for about 15 feet, and that's about all you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And Christoph removes the books, and the statue begins closing over the hole, leaving you in complete darkness. And I think that is where we're going to leave off on this week's episode of The Gate Chronicles. Thank you, foundlings, for listening to another episode of The Gate Chronicles. We hope that you enjoyed that. There are lots of things to be found in the room. Lots and lots of things. But of course, we only have so much time to explore, so we'll have to pick up next week when we find out what the heck Finavir is doing underground.
I can't see my toes.
He can't see. He did not think this through.
So you have chosen.
All right. So... we, again, want to give a big thank you and shout out to our patrons, Jason Lillis and Stephen Howland, for supporting us in our content production. Give them a big clap, guys. I know if you're driving, don't let go of the steering wheel. Good job. Good job. All right. And as always, if you also want to support us, there are many ways to do so. One is by becoming a patron on our Patreon, or you can, you know, tell other people about us, share the podcast, get more people to listen to how awesome this story is, or... you can always just come and hang out with us on our Discord and support us emotionally. We understand. And all of those links are in the description below. We also want to make sure we recognize our music and ambiance creators, Michael Gelfie of Michael Gelfie Studios, Monument Studios, and all of the creators and content producers on Epidemic Sound and Artlist for allowing us to use their music and ambiance in today's production. All right, we hope you'll continue to follow along with this story of the Gate Chronicles. Next week. Yeah, like there's many weeks. I don't know. It's just weeks. Anyway, bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.